So here's the big question. You're interested in value investing and valuing and evaluating businesses on a deep level, but you don't know how, even after researching for hours, probably dozens of hours, hundreds of hours on the internet, and because nobody else shows you how to do it. This podcast has all those answers and much more about value investing and finance. My name is Jason Rivera. Welcome to Value Investing in Your Car.
Hey, Jason here. Today's episode of Value Investing in Your Car, we're going to analyze American Airlines stock for potential investment. Before I get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this series of podcasts anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, and more. You can get this as part of the Value Investing in Your Car series anywhere in the world for free. And if you like this video and our other videos, make sure to subscribe and hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video and release new videos all the time. Okay, so in our last set of videos in this series, or in all our videos in this series so far, we've covered CVS Health, Archer Daniels Midland for Andrew W., U.S. Steel for Cody S., Ford, T-Mobile, IBM and its upcoming spinoff, Cody, and ExxonMobil. Today, we're going to cover American Airlines. Before I get to that, though, I need to do a little bit of a disclaimer here because I did not put a disclaimer on the first couple videos and people didn't like that. Some people didn't like that. I do not invest in any of these stocks that I am talking about in this series. I don't invest in any of them personally or in the portfolios I manage. And I also don't short sell. So I have no personal stake either way, positively or negatively, about these companies. I'm doing this for informational purposes to teach people how they can value and evaluate stocks faster and better with what we're going to go through here is my visual preliminary analysis checklist that I've put together over 14 years. And you can get that at one of the links below for free, which I'll tell you about at the end of the video. Okay. Also, before we get into this, I will likely reference some of the other videos, some of the other stocks. If we talk about something specific like cash conversion cycle or intangible assets or goodwill or impairments, we already talked about them in other videos. I'll tell you to reference them, and those are linked below this in the description as well. Nothing really up here that I notice. I'm shocked that American Airlines stock is worth only $5.8 billion. That's a little bit of a surprise. This catches my eye, though. So this is one of Morningstar's equity analysts, and usually equity analysts are generally very positive, or at very worst, not negative. And to see a headline like that probably means that they have some major debt issues. Because again, equity analysts are generally very positive or neutral at the very least. Huge increase in revenue and then decrease this year, which again makes sense because of the coronavirus stuff. Airlines have cratered, or airlines traffic has cratered. At one point, it was down in the U.S. alone. I think, I can't remember the exact stat. I think it was something like 96% at one point when this pandemic first kind of, or when the craziness first started in the U.S. And I don't know what the updated numbers are, but I would be shocked if it was above 50% of last year's number. Well, last year's capacity, let's say. Because revenue, just on revenue, it's about half, a little bit less than half. Or a little bit more than half, sorry. Okay, most of the decade, and then again, just cratering. Negative $8 billion this year so far, or in the last 12 months so far. Negative 32% margin. Over a long period, I look for anything above 10% on a consistent basis. So actually, surprisingly, American Airlines reaches that threshold most years, which I'm a bit surprised about. The reason I stand a bit surprised about that is because over the history of, and I think Warren Buffett said this, is that over the history of the entire airline industry, the entire industry is unprofitable. So to see profit margins above 10% on an operating basis is a little, quite surprising, actually, not just a little bit surprising. And net income in the last 12 months, again, not good. Earnings per share have been negative the first part of the decade, and then they were positive a lot. And this year, they're negative 13.8 per share so far this year, which has led to a cut in the dividend already in half this year, from 40 cents to 20 cents.
And if this pandemic continues going on, which it, as of this recording, it's actually exploding in the US and Europe and India, then I would expect that to the dividend to probably be cut completely. If it or hasn't already been cut, this might have been the dividend they paid in the first quarter before the pandemic kind of started. So they may have already cut the dividend completely. I'm not sure. Again, I look at these stocks for reference. I look at these stocks from a brand new perspective. I don't, other in some cases, of course, American Airlines, I know what they are. I've flown on their planes before. But in some cases, I don't even know what they do. That was the case for Archer Daniels Midland when I looked into them for Andrew W. I didn't even know what they did until kind of the middle toward the end of this visual preliminary analysis that we're doing. They've increased shares over time. So as their revenues and profits have declined, they've sold more shares. But even before this, they sold more shares to increase their, I'm guessing they bought an airline in 2013, 2014, would be my guess from the huge jump in revenue between 2013 and 2014. From $22.7 billion to $42.7 billion. I would guess that's from an acquisition, and I would guess that they use shares for the acquisition from this perspective. Not a great thing, and it's really not a good thing now because of the huge on profitability. Was it a good thing before? Frankly, I don't know. I don't have enough information yet. We'll have to look at the balance sheet for that. Free cash flow. Pretty much always negative except for 2 years of the last decade and negative $6.6 billion in the last 12 months. Again, not good. ROIC is unreadable. But from its 2018 numbers, and again, that's 2 years ago now almost, this at being 6.7 for the ROIC and 75.2 for their ROE means they have a lot of debt. Because ROIC is not levered by debt, well, ROE is. And the higher this number is, the ROE compared to the ROIC, the more debt the company has. So back in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, when the ROIC numbers are readable, they have a lot of debt in all those. So I would assume that they've had a lot of debt now, which that, of course, also with what the equity analyst said. Negative unprofitability on a free cash flow to sales basis for almost the entire decade and negative 25% rounded up in the trailing 12-month period, which is horrific. PP&E makes up the bulk of their balance sheet, which makes sense because it's all planes. And planes are very expensive. Sorry, took a drink of water. And debt is not good. Big thing here, though, it catches my eye, is this. Negative 8.8% shareholders' equity. This is pretty rare when you see this, but when you do, what this means is that when you subtract total assets from total liabilities, normally in most cases, you get a positive number which comes out to book value or also known as shareholders' equity. On rare occasions, you see a negative number here, which means when you subtract total assets from total liabilities, they're in a net liability or net debt position. Which means essentially just based on the balance sheet, their shares are worthless. Is that true in a real world case? Not necessarily in most cases, because the book value or the balance sheet or the balance sheet and the book value are just that. They don't include the value of the operations. Cash conversion cycle doesn't really matter much here, in my opinion, but it's interesting that it's still up. From negative 19 days, which is typically a good thing to be negative in the cash conversion cycle, to 25 days in. Sorry, I just noticed this, which is why I kind of paused there. Their payables period has dropped from 65.1 days in 2010 to 19.7 days in the trailing 12-month period. That is not good at all, for reasons I talk about. I think it was in the Archer Daniels Midland video, and also the possibly the GE video as well. Essentially what this means is they have to pay their suppliers faster, a lot faster than they had to 10 years ago. And this could be because their suppliers are having issues, because they're having issues paying their bills, or they have in the past. So their suppliers are making them pay faster. Either way, that's not good. And for more context on that, again, I think it's in the GE video or the CVS Health video where I talk about that, the cash conversion cycle at debt. And definitely I talked about the cash conversion version cycle in the Archer Daniels Midland video. Okay, so not good so far here. This is really not good, but makes perfect sense because interest coverage ratio here, what this means is with it being a negative 6.2, anything above positive 1 means that the company can cover its current interest payments on its debt with its net income. Now, with the huge unprofitability in net income and, frankly, operating income and free cash flow in the last 12 months, it makes sense that this number is negative. But when this happens, it puts the company in danger of bankruptcy because it can't pay its current interest on its debt with operating earnings, net profit earnings, or free cash flow. So a company is in heightened state of bankruptcy when this happens. Does it mean they're going to go bankrupt? Not necessarily. They can issue shares. They can issue more debt to do this. Neither are great when you have to do it, because typically you won't get the terms that you could have gotten in a more favorable time. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to file bankruptcy. It just puts them at heightened risk. Again, it's not good. I'm not trying to undersell that it's not good, but it's not necessarily horrific right now either, which we will kind of get to in the balance sheet. So they have an enormous amount of debt. Ooh, so $41.2 billion in debt, which is, their market cap is $5.8 billion. So let's look at that, because that is a lot. 41.2, that is 6.1x or 610% higher than the market cap. That is horrific to see a company have more debt than their entire market cap. Again, that's rare enough by itself. When you see it at six times higher than its market cap, that is horrific. Off the top of my head, that might be one of the worst I've ever seen in terms of having more debt than the market cap. And in terms, even a net debt, let's take away cash. 41.2 billion minus 8.3 billion. That still leaves $33 billion in net debt, which is, again, horrific for a company that has a $5.8 billion market cap. Frankly, that's horrific. I don't even know what else to say about that. Cash levels are dwindling. They were already low and they are dwindling fast. They had $6.3 billion in 2015 in cash equivalents, and short-term investments. Right now, they have, I was looking at the restricted cash. Okay, that makes more sense. Right now, they have $8.3 billion in cash. But again, that's not necessarily great because a lot of that is from debt raising. So they're issuing debt to raise cash, and they're using that to put in their cash reserves for, of course, the contingencies, margin of safety, whatever you want to put it, for the coronavirus stuff. I do know that at one point, I think it was March or April, probably April, when airline traffic was at its worst, the three major U.S. airlines were losing an estimated $100 million a day. So I don't know what that number is now, but if it's anything close to that, again, that's why they need as much cash as possible. Okay, most of their balance sheet is in PP&E, which is makes sense. This is vehicles and mostly planes and stuff like that. They actually have less intangible assets than I was imagining. I would assume, well, maybe they've had to write them down in the past. Let's go see the annual numbers. If they've had to write them down in the past, that would make sense. Well, it's been pretty steady in terms of goodwill over time. What about intangibles? So at least in the last 5 years, it doesn't look like they've had to do any major write-downs, which is frankly a little surprising, especially now with this year, with all the coronavirus craziness going on. So current portion of the long-term debt, so their short-term debt and capital lease is about $4.5 billion. A ton of deferred liabilities. I would guess those are pensions and stuff for pilots. And be a lot more fun if it was pirates. Pilots and stewardesses and stewards and stuff like that. And then here we come to the major issue, the long-term debt. $36.8 billion in long-term debt. Again, not good with a $5.8 billion market cap for the reasons I've already explained. Already talked about the negative book value. Let's talk about retained earnings and accumulated deficit. I haven't talked about that before. And I love talking about retained earnings and accumulated deficit, frankly, because, again, it's something else nobody looks at. Similar reason I like the cash conversion cycle. So let's go to the annual for this, and then we'll come back. So retained earnings, and I've got some videos on this that I'll link below this. But retained earnings, when this number is positive, which it was in 2019 at the full year, it was $2.3 billion rounded up. That means the company's earned a cumulative profit over the life of their company. When it's negative, this is called an accumulated deficit. That was the case in, was it 2015? At negative $1.2 billion, and it's the case now in the trailing 12-month period because of the massive losses due to the coronavirus. Now it's negative $4.5 billion. So from the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, this was positive $2.3 billion. And in essentially 1, 2, 3 quarters, this has fallen by, what is that, about $6.5 billion to negative $4.5 billion. So is this number super important? Not necessarily, but it gives you a sign of how the company has operated over the history of the company. I like to look at retained earnings, if it's positive, as a bit of a rainy day fund, because this is money the company can use to reinvest. If it's negative and it's accumulated deficit, the company has to essentially come up with this money somehow at some point to continue operations, again, through selling debt, through selling shares, through earning profits in the future, through something along those lines to make up for this number. So yeah, it's important, but it's more of a long-term positive or negative than anything. Okay, evaluation. And this illustrates a good reason why I don't pay a ton of attention to P/E or price to cash flow or forward P/E, because none of these include debt or cash. And because, again, 99% of all companies in the world have debt and cash. You want to know, as a total business owner, as an investor in a stock, what kind of debt levels the company has. And this is a perfect illustration. So if you just look at PE, American Airlines looks super cheap at 2.8. But when you include the debt and the cash, its enterprise value to EBIT is 100. This is the number I use for relative valuations. This is 184 rounded up. I look for anything below 8. On this metric to consider undervalued. So even with it falling, it's just cratered since its all-time high in late 2017, early 2018, it looks like, and I don't know why, 59, looks like its all-time high in the end of 2017, and it's all the way down to $11.46 a share. So I was going to assume or going to say that with its stock falling in recent times, that even with that, it's still massively overvalued when you consider its debt and its cash, which you should consider when you're looking at investment. But again, most people, this is why I have several videos talking about why I dislike PE so much, is because it looks super cheap on a PE basis, but on a real world basis, which is what I consider the enterprise value EBIT, because again, it includes debt and cash, which are real world numbers that affect the company. The company is massively overvalued, even though shares have fallen. So to me, kind of to sum up on American Airlines, there is no way I'd want to invest in this stock. I don't invest in turnarounds because I know I'm going to get this question because I got this question on the Cody video. Some people didn't like my analysis of the Cody video and they said, I don't appreciate turnarounds. And I don't understand turnarounds. Frankly, they are correct because I don't invest in turnaround situations. Because why? Because most of the time they do not turn around. So I avoid them. So in this case, I frankly don't know how American Airlines gets out of this situation with the coronavirus still exploding again worldwide, essentially US, Europe, and India specifically. An enormous amount of debt. And a very low share price, they're going to have to issue more debt, which is because I don't even know if they could issue shares right now. Even if they could, they wouldn't get that much money out of it. So they'd likely have to issue more debt to continue funding operations or get some kind of partnership deal or sell shares at a very favorable rate to somebody like Warren Buffett or something to raise cash. But frankly, I don't know how they get out of this enormous amount of debt. So there's no way with the coronavirus stuff going on. So there's no way I'd invest in this stock right now. To me, this looks like a kind of a typical case study, whatever you want to call it, version of a value trap. Because again, on a PE level, it looks undervalued. In a real world sense, it's not even close. Plus all the coronavirus stuff, plus the huge debt, plus the huge cash burn due to the coronavirus. There's no way I'd invest in this stock right now. Not even close. So I hope this helps. I hope you learned something. If I could have explained something better, didn't explain something well enough, let me know in the comments below. If you want me to look up a stock for you or evaluate a stock for you like this, let me know. I've already done it for a couple of people. Let me know in the comments below. If you are watching on YouTube, like, love, share, subscribe, and comment and hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, because we're releasing new videos all the time. If you listen on the podcast, make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'd really appreciate a review as well, because the more reviews, views, and listens we get, the more people we can help with our content. If you're looking to learn how to find, value, and evaluate stocks faster like this, you can get our 5 free gifts below, which will give you the full written version of the preliminary analysis checklist for free, plus 4 other free gifts. You can also get a free PDF copy of my book, How to Value Invest. And also our 7 tips to picking great stocks and 3 tips or 3 times you must sell guide. You can get all those 3 for free at the links below this. And if you're looking for more information on how to learn faster, better, and more efficiently on how to value stocks with more help from me, you can check out all information on our masterclass below. But until next time, have a great day. Talk again soon.